Warning, the following thingy may contain language and ideas that would cause internal bleeding. Please keep your minds inside the vehicle at all times. Arms and legs optional.
Hello again. You are listening to Fortnite Tonight, the June 7th, 2006 edition, or number 5. So, just the other day, and when is it never just the other day, a friend of mine came up to me and handed me a piece of paper. He'd just gotten a prescription for something or other. And he was reading the warning label. And immediately I knew there was going to be trouble because he's a hypochondriac. And you know how these people are. You know, you sneeze and all of a sudden you've got the flu. Or you're a few minutes late and all of a sudden you've died in a car crash. And he was wondering, should he take this vital medication because of this list of things that could go wrong if you take this medication? So I read the list and basically told him that it's the pharmaceutical companies covering their asses. It's just a list of things that, you know, should it happen to you while you're on this medication, they're not going to be responsible for it. You know, you have your standard things, you know, you can dry mouth, diarrhea, some more extreme cases, you know, heart attack, stroke, blah, blah, blah. And just that, you know, if your doctor wants you to take the medication, take the medication. It's just, you know, people covering their asses. But the more I thought about it, and you know, now with all these medicine commercials on TV, you know, his paranoia isn't totally unfounded. Or at least there's a good cause for his paranoia. I mean, you listen to some of these things and you kind of wonder, okay, you know, how could this, you know, beneficial medicine do this to me? I mean, like I said, you have your heart attacks, your strokes, your, you know, diarrhea, but then it gets kind of crazy. There was one commercial where it can lead to a urinary tract infection. And another one was you can get tuberculosis. Okay. That sounds like tainted drugs to me. And there's other warnings. You know, it's like, don't take this if you're pregnant. Don't take this if you have a chance of heart attack or anything like that. And then there's even stranger ones, like, don't take this if you're Asian. Or don't take this if you're Caucasian. And to me, that just kind of just rules out a whole customer base. But I guess there are reasons. These warning labels, they might as well just get it over with and say, if you take, you know, warning, taking this medication may lead to you being hit by a car. Rare occurrences of being swallowed up whole by the earth. You know, most of it's just the pharmaceutical company covering its ass. I know why. Or, you know, sort of why. We live in a litigious culture. We like to sue. It's ingrained in our psyche. I mean, who of us haven't, you know, on a sick day or holiday, been subjected to daytime television where there's a small claims court? You know, people's court, Judge Wapner. you know, people getting money for stupid things, like, you know, like being the girlfriend of a convicted felon. Her VCR is missing, and she wants to know why. But also, our mothers, you know, it's their dream for us to become lawyers. I mean, you know, when you're deciding a career path, one of the first things that comes out of their mouths is, why don't you go to law school? Become a lawyer. I mean, even Shakespeare's mother must have wanted to become a lawyer of some sort. You really think she wanted him to hang around the theater in tights? I don't think so. And the other dream job for offspring is becoming a doctor. So you have a set of the population becoming lawyers, most likely your degenerates, who became enamored with law early on, you know, because of their defense attorneys, you know, idolizing their defense attorneys. And you have others, the do-gooders, becoming doctors. They want to save the world. They want to save patients. They want to make drugs and medications that will make the world a better place. But you get these two in the same courtroom, and it's the schoolyard all over again. You got the bullies beating up the geeks for their lunch money. But lawsuits aside, on one particular prescription, there should be a warning label, and should read, can lead to undue record breaking and fits of being a jerk. Now, I of course speak of that great American icon, and by icon I mean two-dimensional and poorly drawn, Barry Bonds. Yeah, that's right. Barry Bonds has broken that record. He's hit 715 home runs, which puts him ahead of Babe Ruth, and about 40-something behind Hank Aaron's all-time record. Now, 478 of those home runs, I think, belong to Balco, and that's the pharmaceutical company that's produced whatever it is Barry wants to call that he's been taking. And I don't want to make any accusations, they've all been made. But, ladies and gentlemen, you do not gain 200 pounds of pure muscle during one season of winter ball. One year he ended the season, you know, normal size, you know, for him. And the next year he was the Incredible Hulk. And, you can't do that without help. But anyway. Now, as I see it, if he's not stopped, by the end of next season, he would have surpassed Hank Aaron's record of 755. And I say that is if he's not stopped. Don't see that happening just yet. I mean, Major League Baseball isn't making any great strides to do something about it. They're not even advocating putting a little star next to his name, saying record broken under contention or something like that. And you know that they're not going to kick him out. The controversy's just too good. You know, it gets Major League Baseball back into the public spotlight. It's, you know, fallen in the past couple years in popularity. And now all the news agencies are talking about it, so people are starting to get interested in baseball again. Albeit for the wrong reasons. So, kind of have to ask yourself, how can it be stopped? Well, before he broke Babe Ruth's record of 714, rather, there was a website devoted to whoever caught the ball. They were to take a Sharpie marker and write cheater on it and just throw it back. Now, the ball, that ball would be useless for display in the home, in the whatchamacallit, the Hall of Fame. And of course that didn't happen. I mean, 714 was caught by a fan who's going to make a lot of money off of it. Doesn't like Barry Bonds, but still is going to make a lot of money off of it. And 715 was caught by a Bonds fan, so you know that's not going to go anywhere. Now, maybe you can offer the guy enough money to buy the baseball, destroy it. You know, no evidence, no crime. You know, we can expunge the game or games from the record books. The day of the 715 home run, the radio station covering the game, and the Giants radio station, the mic gave out as soon as he hit the home run. So that's a start there. Don't know if it was done by a saboteur or an act of God. Probably a little of both. But even if you expunge the records, you still have thousands upon thousands of people who saw the game. And I'm sure there's a lot of them who would swear an oath to forget what they saw, but then there's another bunch that won't. And they really just can't go missing. So covering it over isn't going to help. And you can't even, and when the 755 comes, you can't do that either. Same reasons. Now, there was one pitcher by the name of Russ Springer on May 19th who had sort of the right idea. See, after about five transparent attempts, he finally beaned Barry Bonds and was subsequently thrown out and suspended, but this seems the way to go. So right now I'm calling on every major league manager and pitcher to bean Bonds. You know, you don't have to be overly aggressive. You can toss at his butt. You know, I mean, ideally crack him on the head. Yeah, it's going to be a sacrifice. There's going to be a lot of suspensions. A lot of forfeited games. You're going to go through your bullpen really quick if everybody gets tossed. But it's going to, I feel it's going to yield results. A, he'll never be able to hit another home run. And B, he might just get fed up enough and quit the game. Or get one of those career-ending concussions. I know violence isn't the way to go. But in this case, the man's a jerk. He wouldn't sign the 714 ball. He's a jerk to his fans. He's a jerk to the press. Steroids aside, he's just a jerk. I mean, you have other players like that have been accused of steroids, like Jason Giambi, and he came out and he admitted it. But he's a nice guy. And you know what? After, he's no longer on the juice, and he's still producing. He had made a mistake, he said he was sorry, and he's still good. He's a nice guy. Bonds isn't. And if Bonds was a nice guy, I would say, alright, let him go. Because his actions, you know, his personality could be a role model to kids. But his personality can't be a role model to kids. The fact that he's believed to be on the juice and hasn't denied otherwise, definitively, you can't have that as a role model for children. So, I'm sorry. He must be dealt with accordingly. On that note, let's take a little break. Listen to a bunch of random noise that will someday be filled with sponsors. And we'll be right back.
Crummy crunchies are the best. Look delicious on your vest. Serve them to unwanted guests. Stuff the mattress with the rest.
we're back. Now, in late May, justice was served in the corporate world, and that would be against Ken Lay and Jeff Skilling, otherwise known as the idiots who were running Enron for all those years. They were convicted of a total of 25 counts of random idiocy. Conspiracy, fraud, insider trading. If it's against the law in the corporate world, they did it. And they were convicted of it. And good thing, too. Something had to give. I mean, because of their antics, $2.1 billion in pension plans were lost. Pension plans. You know, the that money that people put away so when they retire they don't have to work anymore. People's lives were ruined. Investments went down the tubes. They caused a lot of damage. They haven't been sentenced yet. They could get up to 30 years in prison and a whole bunch of other fines. And oddly enough, that sentencing is going to take place on September 11th. Now, the jury thought they were guilty. All of America pretty much thinks they're guilty, except for other overly priced CEOs and whatnot. However, they don't. They don't feel they did anything wrong. And as we're about to hear, Ken Lay believes that he'll be exonerated on the cosmic level. Let's have a listen.
I'm going to make a very brief comment, obviously be other times later. Certainly we're surprised, I think probably even more appropriately to say we're shocked. Certainly this was not the outcome we expected. I firmly believe I'm innocent of the charges against me, as I have said from day one. I still firmly believe that as of this day. Despite what happened today, I am still a very blessed man. I have on my left this beautiful lady that's my wife. I have a very warm and loving and Christian family that supports me, a lot of friends, including some out there in the audience right now. And most of all, we believe that God, in fact, is in control. And indeed, he does work all things for good for those who love the Lord. And we love our Lord, and ultimately, all of these things will work for good. Thank you so much for all of your courtesies, all of your interest. And obviously, as time goes on, we'll have more things to say, but that's all I want to say today. Thank you.
The government said this sends a message.
And in fact, God is in control, and that he does good for those who believe in the Lord. I'd say that's a pretty fair statement. There's about 5,000 people, then, that must believe in the Lord. Now, they're not getting their money back, but at least they've gotten justice. But he says this as if God is looking after him. That God will come through for him. Because he's a good Christian. And I don't think so. No, I don't. I don't think so. Because, let me get my piece of paper here. Matthew chapter 19, verses 23 to 24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. End quote. Now, I don't know if there is a legal loophole here. I mean, he definitely has some high-priced lawyers there, old Ken Lay. But I don't think that just because all your assets have been seized by the government, that it excludes you from being that rich man that can't get into the kingdom of God. I mean, it could be a loophole there. God created us in his image. We have red tape. And we have loopholes. So there may be loopholes and red tape in the cosmic level, but I don't think so, not in this case. Not after all the people he's screwed over. Yeah, just because all your money is now not yours, doesn't mean you never had it. Doesn't mean you never got it in a shithead manner. So you're going to burn. But, as we all know, religion and blind faith can lead to all sorts of weird statements and weird actions. Case in point, the Da Vinci Code was finally released into theaters. It had been held up in court because it was believed that the author ripped off another book, and that was settled. And then it was almost going to be canceled again due to massive protests of the faith-driven sort. So basically, and if you don't know it by now, if you've not read the book or seen the movie or heard it anywhere else, the Da Vinci Code is about the search for the Holy Grail. The Holy Grail, unlike the Indiana Jones version where it's a cup, is in fact the bloodline of Christ. It is believed in the book that Christ had offspring, and his bloodline has carried on through the generations and is now among us. And the Da Vinci Code was a cryptic message in all of Leonardo da Vinci's works leading to this fact. And the Christian Church, or the Catholic Church, rather, was trying to cover it up. Now, I'm a Christian. I believe that Jesus died and was resurrected and all that good stuff there. But the possibility that he had an offspring is there. Now, it's not mentioned in any of the four Gospels, the four canon Gospels of Christianity. But one has to remember, there were a couple hundred Gospels at one point. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were chosen amongst them in the 2nd century by Irenaeus, because that embodied the overall message of the Christian faith. And that's okay. That's fine. But you have to remember, there are a ton of other Gospels. And before you write me off as some sort of heretic, let me lead you to the recent rediscoveries of the Gospel of Thomas and the Gospel of Judas. There's also the Gospel of Mary Magdalene and a whole bunch more. And I learned this, just so you know, in a Christian history class at a Jesuit college. You know, the Jesuits, the Army of Christ. So, I did not learn it in a secular institution. And I'm not saying it to disparage Christians. I am a Christian. But the fact remains, there may be other possibilities. And to get up in arms about a movie or a book that is labeled as fiction is ridiculous. Staging protests and wasting your time didn't do much good. The Da Vinci Code made a whole bunch of money, despite the efforts. Probably made more money because of your protests, because controversy sells. Just look at my previous statements about Barry Bonds. Controversy sells. And the more fuss you make, the more people are going to see it. So you kind of just blew yourselves out of the water. And what gets me is these people are making protests about, and they say it's making a mockery of the Christian faith, when you have other movies, like, that was released about the same time, like See No Evil, where you have this, in the trailer, you have this psychopath who says, your sins must be cleansed, and all this, stuff. He's a psychopath killer, living in the walls of some abandoned building, and killing in the name of God. I would be a little more upset about that than the Da Vinci Code, Because A, it's a cheaper movie. I mean, they even, you know, from the commercials, didn't even look like they put much effort into it. And B, there could be a shred of truth to the Da Vinci Code, just based upon the hundreds of other gospels that never made it into the Bible. And, I don't know, I kind of like the idea of having a bloodline of Christ hanging around. You know, because there's a lot of weird stuff going on in the world, and it'd be nice to have, you know, a savior waiting in the wings, ready to go at a moment's notice. And if you think about it, there's a lot of time, and even in the four gospels, you know, the canon gospels, a lot of time is missing in Jesus' life. So you never know. I mean, you have speculation that he studied with Buddha and whatnot too. Sounds reasonable. I mean, the messages are basically the same. So why not? What happened between the ages of 7 and 32? And for now, it remains a mystery, and probably will forever remain a mystery. The main idea, though, is, you know, like all of the halfway decent religions is, and you gotta remember this, is you gotta be cool to each other, and just remember there's something out there larger than you. And that's pretty much it. So we'll leave the real world and the metaphysical world behind us, and move on into the world of the New World Order. Look towards the coming weeks. We'll be having an official guide on how to win the lotto, as well as the history of the zine, you know, the independent magazine culture, as well as all the other nonsense that we do. And in the distant future, I would look forward to the somewhat return of my comic Day to Day. It's sort of in the works. I've got a couple of new comics, and I've got a couple of storylines for Bingo. I don't know if you're not familiar at all, and you're probably not, because it's been buried for about 2 years now, and my comic is a comic anthology. It started out mostly as a single panel nonsense, puns and whatnot, but then I got some characters. I got Bingo, about a small parish, and the two priests that run it, you know, with their, you know, Bingo, and it's a parody. It's just a parody on Bingo. I mean, no disrespect to Christianity, although by probably now you're saying, yeah, right. I mean, I just listened to you saying how Christ didn't rise from the dead. I didn't say that. I just said there are texts to the contrary. But anyway, and I'm working on another comic called The Mage Show, or tentatively called The Mage Show. It's a story about a little dude who was kicked out of a interdimensional college for magic, and decides that he's going to show the world he doesn't need schooling, and he's going to start his own cable access television show. And there's going to be more stories than that in it, but that's the central theme. Hopefully I have right now half a panel drawn and about four notebooks full of stories, so hopefully I can get that going. If you want to set your bookmarks now, you can go to mageshow.com. I just have a placeholder there. But it's something. And that's all I got. So, don't hate me. Like I said, I am a Christian. I go to church. So keep your hate mail to a minimum. Good night, and insert snappy catchphrase here.